One of the wonders, particularly of this chapter, is the depth at which this chapter moves. And it's summing up centuries of reflection on this mystery of the manna. Finally, by the time John is writing, there's a strong opinion that just says, you know, the manna is the Torah. You know, what came down from heaven and gives life? The Torah comes down from heaven and gives life. And they work with the Psalm 68. You went up and brought down gifts, you know. That's you, O Moses. You went up the top of Mount Sinai and you received the Torah and you came down and gave this incredible gift to your people. But here, Jesus says, I am the Torah. I am the source of life. And in so doing, you see, he's calling us to a kind of a union with him. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. I am the word of life. If you look through the Johannine writings, you'll see this phrase quite a bit. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. I pointed out yesterday, I think, that belief, John understands believing as a coming to Jesus. Not just the acceptance of something, or, you know, I believe in this, or I believe there's a Borneo. And no, this is a coming to Jesus. And then, I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. And this touches on something very deep in the human being. To see and yet not follow it all the way through. Because it would mean death to self. You see, Jesus, in that sense, is a sign. Well, if you're driving down the road, you're going down 270, let's say, and there's a sign, Rockville. You don't pull off and park under the sign. That's not Rockville. That's a sign. You follow the sign. When you look at Jesus, when you hear about Jesus, when you receive Jesus, you're supposed to allow the dynamics of who he is to bring you into the heart of the Father. It's a dynamic reality. He says to the Jews, you've seen me. And if you would let your spirit yield to the witness of who I am and what I've said and what I've done, you would believe in me. Which means you acknowledge that the Father sent me and that I'm equal to the Father. And you'll have life. You'll have life. This whole chapter, you see, is based on this notion that faith is a yielding to the truth. And the truth is a dynamic reality. It will bring us. He will bring us, you see. And so, how do we get there? One of the sub-themes, prominent theme in this whole chapter is, what shall we do to do the works of God? Which means do the things that are pleasing to God. And our Lord's answer? This is the work of God, to believe in the one whom he sent. But that work of God is first God's work in us. And then we yield to that work. And then it becomes a work that springs up from us in the power of God. And that theme comes up about four or five times in this discourse in chapter 6. Here we have it. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. Beg the Father, draw me, reveal your Son to me, move my spirit, let me yield to the truth. I'm tired of living a compromised life. Move me. Everything that the Father gives me comes to me. So that faith is a work of God. Beg the Father that he would come and work. And then, this translation has, and I will not reject. It really, I will not cast out. It's an allusion to Genesis, where God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden. And here, and I will not cast out anyone who comes to me. Why did God cast them out? Go back and take a look there at the end of chapter 3 in Genesis. Lest they stretch forth their hand, Adam, lest he stretch forth his hand and eat from the tree of life and live forever. That was a mercy. But now Jesus is saying, you come to me, I will not cast you out. I am the tree of life. And if you eat of me, you will live forever. This phrase, tree of life, it becomes then in the wisdom tradition of the Old Testament a theme. It comes like four or five times. Wisdom is a tree of life. Jesus is saying, I am. So that everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not cast out anybody who comes to me. Because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me. That you come to me and have eternal life. That's his will. That's who he is. He so loved the world, John tells us in chapter 3, that he sent his only Son, that anyone who believes in him would have eternal life. That's the Father. The Father is love. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me. He gave it to me. But I should raise it on the last day. And that is meant to expand our whole understanding. Huh? The gift of faith is not, as some groups would claim, the best way to get rich. There's the prosperity gospel. That's not. I'll raise you up on the last day and I will give you body and soul eternal life. That's my promise. And so you see, and then, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son looks and yields to him, believes in him, may have eternal life. And again, I will raise him up on the last day. Even your bodies are eternal. That's the power of faith. And this is a discourse on faith, receiving Jesus. In faith. And that's why it's a discourse on the Eucharist. As the old, great old scholastic saints used to say, you see, this is a manducatio spiritualis. This is a spiritual eating. And just as we could see Jesus and say, nice guy, and walk away, and not yield, so we can eat Jesus and not receive him. We have to want him. And to want his life to replace our own. And I will raise him up on the last day. So in this these six verses here we have in John 6, starting with verse 35. You see, are opening up to us the full dimension of who we are and what we're called to be. And it will center more and more. You see, it has to be an atmosphere. It has to be an interaction. It has to be a yielding to the truth who is Jesus. And then the Eucharist is like a magnifying glass. It takes all that and concentrates it right here. And that's the gift we have every morning. And the Lord loves to give this gift of himself. And so that's why we have all this time to prepare. We just don't come in, receive the gift, and go. We pray, we repent, we praise, we hear the word. Because you see, as the Vatican Council told us, we should know it, the Church has always offered the same veneration to the Word of God in the Scriptures and in the Eucharist. The same veneration. Isn't that beautiful? And that's why we have these texts. If you let the Lord work this text in you, then you are ready for what he wants to do when you receive him. Because you've already received him. I acknowledge that I will yield to this work of the Father in my spirit and come to you, Jesus. The Father is drawing me there, and I know that you will raise me up on the last day, because your body and your blood have entered into my body and my blood and made them eternal.